Before we start the show, we want to ask you, the Disconnected family, to please share the show on social media and invite friends and family to listen. Enable the notification bell so you never miss an episode, and please rate us with 5 stars wherever you're listening to us right now to keep this awesome show going. Might as well do it right now, that's fresh on your mind, right? We thank you and appreciate you. Enjoy the show.
May not be suitable for younger listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, Disconnected family. As always, we welcome you to another edition of the Disconnected podcast. If this is your first time listening to the show, we welcome you. I am your host, Angel, along with another host, which happens to be my sister, Jessie.
Hello, I am Sister Jessie.
We are two siblings who research the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, exorcisms, murders, conspiracies, you name it.
Yeah, everything. We're a full deck of cards. Exactly. That's not a saying, but I made it one.
So we hope you enjoyed today's episode, The Ghostly Sleep Phenomenon, also known as sleep paralysis. Let's begin.
Imagine this. You're sleeping peacefully when all of a sudden you hear something moving in your bedroom. You wake up. Out of the corner of your eye, you see something moving, and it's getting closer. You want to so desperately see what it is, but you aren't able to move. It is only inches away from you, and as it hovers directly over you, you're finally able to sit up. In your panic, you realize that you're alone. Was there really something in your room? Or has science proven that sleep paralysis is but a mere neurological reaction to our sleeping habits? We'll discuss this and more in this episode. Welcome to the Disconnected Podcast, and we hope you all have sweet dreams tonight.
What is sleep paralysis? What happens to our bodies and mind when we enter this state of despair and immobility?
So sleep paralysis is a feeling of being conscious. You can open your eyes, but you can't move your body. And it occurs when a person passes between stages of wakefulness and sleep. During these transitions, you aren't able to move or speak for a few seconds up to a few minutes. Some people may also feel pressure or a sense of choking. Sleep paralysis may accompany other sleeping disorders like narcolepsy. So narcolepsy is when it's an overpowering need to sleep caused by a problem in the brain's ability to regulate your sleep. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's like when you're just first opening up your eyes, your body is paralyzed because that's what a body does. So you're not running around while you're sleeping.
Right. It's like to protect your body, right?
It's
like,
to protect your body from... Right. Ending up in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah, exactly. And some people sleepwalk because they don't have that.
So there's something irregular in their brain chemicals, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. that doesn't work and your body doesn't end up paralyzed. So you may be having a dream. So you get up and you start walking as if you were in your dream, but you're just walking around your room. Sometimes people even end up outside, which mm-hmm. is dangerous.
Yeah.
But it's just like a very... Back then, like at our ancestors, like way in the dinosaur times or whatever, they did that so they wouldn't run out and a predator would eat them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just like a human thing that's been passed down.
Right. Okay. Cool. Have you ever had sleep paralysis? Have you ever experienced an event?
I have had sleep paralysis once. Okay. And it is as terrifying as people say that it is.
Really? Yeah. I've never had it. So.
You don't want it.
No, I know.
I don't recommend it.
I did the research and everything, and it seems pretty scary.
It is
and very
scary.
Stressful because you can't move.
No.
You can only like move your eyes.
You're having a dream, but the dream is in real life.
Yeah, and you can't move. You can't do anything. And mm-hmm. your brain is just tripping, you know?
Yeah. So did you know that up to 4 out of 10, every 10 people have sleep paralysis? So it's really common. That's 40% of the population.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm not in those.
You're not in that. No, you're in the 60%.
I'm not 60%. I'm the normal guy.
You're the normal one.
I'm the normal one.
So sleep paralysis can be caused by lack of sleep, weird sleep schedules, me, I'm all of these, mental conditions such as stress or bipolar disorder. I'm very stressed
That's
all the
you
time.
You again?
Sleeping on the back. I sleep on my back all the time. Other sleep problems like narcolepsy or nighttime leg cramps. I don't have narcolepsy, but I get cramps occasionally. So,
like all of the above.
All of the above. Use of certain medications such as those for ADHD. I don't take any of those. And substance abuse. I don't drink or do drugs, so. But yeah, most
that we know of.
That we know of. What if in my sleep I'm doing this?
Just you're a drug addict in your sleep.
Getting hammered in my sleep.
Why? Why does my head hurt so bad in the morning?
I know.
Oh my God.
But I do most of these things that are on the list, so it makes sense why I'm like the perfect recipe for it to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do people see during sleep paralysis?
What do they see?
What
Tell
do they
us.
See? Tell us. For some people, it's faceless, shapeless presence trying to suffocate them. Others describe as a creepy old hag with claws. So a witch.
Okay.
Like an old lady
like
with
old
claws.
Like the Conjuring one.
Yeah, kind of.
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba, yeah.
If you haven't heard our Bathsheba episode, The Conjuring,
you
please.
Should, yeah.
Listen to that one after this episode. It's really good.
Yes.
Enough of plugs.
Anyway, some see aliens and experience what they believe to be a full alien abduction.
Really?
Yeah. And for others, demons that look like a dead relative.
Demons? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we go from aliens to demons. We don't know why people see certain things that they see. Maybe it's like something in your subconscious.
Just hallucinations, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what people see, and it's terrifying. And
it is
what people see.
Yeah, because you've experienced it.
Yeah. So some of the history behind sleep paralysis is the first known description of it came from Hippocrates. Sorry, this is a Greek person. Mm-hmm. And the Greeks named it, roughly translated to, as to pounce upon someone. So that there's a word that they use that can be translated to this, to pounce upon someone.
Mm-hmm.
So Artemidorus of Daldis, that's a weird name, but it's Greek, so it's hard to say. And in his book, translated as The Interpretation of Dreams, associated this Greek word of sleep paralysis with the god of Pan. So he associated this, and he wanted to say that it was that he was visiting you in your dreams, and so you would be seen as like, it's a sign for a great future income in your life.
Okay.
So it wasn't seen as something bad. In their culture, it was seen as something like, oh, you're being blessed
mm-hmm.
by the god of dreams. Or, yeah, this dreamer god, and you're going to be blessed with income. Something like that.
Mm.
So it's been around for...
long time.
Like 400 BC is when people first recorded sleep paralysis.
Wow.
So well, it's a very common human phenomenon.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time now.
Yeah. Mm. There's also like different... folklore in different countries. So Canadian Inuit attribute sleep paralysis to the spell of shamans.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese tradition, Kanashibari, I think that's how you say it. I'm so sorry.
You just butchered that.
I probably did. I'm so sorry. I should have looked this up, but I didn't. It was late. But it's the cultural equivalent of sleep paralysis, and it's translated as the state of being totally bound as if constrained by metal chains. And the Kanashibari may emerge through a spell of a summoner who uses a vengeful spirit to suffocate his enemies. So now in Japanese folklore, it's something bad. It's like someone is casting a spell on you, so you suffocate in your dreams.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I like that one.
you like the vengeful spirit instead of being blessed by the god of Pan?
Yeah, that sounds boring. I like the Japanese one.
That's terrifying.
I know it is.
I much prefer to relate my dream to being blessed by a god, by a god than by a vengeful spirit trying to suffocate me. It's also cool. very, very common in Brazilian folklore, which I found is very interesting. They even have a name for it, and they think it's a demon called the Pisadeira,
which is
Portuguese for she who steps.
She who steps.
Yes. She's a crone, so this old hag. Yeah.
Oh, like a witch?
Like a witch with long fingernails who lurks on rooftops in the night and then walks on the chest of people who sleep belly up on a full stomach.
Wow.
So I've heard this before, that if you go to sleep on a full stomach, it's bad. Like, you're going to have bad dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So in Brazilian folklore, this is like a thing, that they think that if you go to sleep on a full stomach, this old hag is going to come and sit on your chest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this guy, he just ate like 5 tacos. Or
he ate too many empanadas.
He ate too many empanadas, so I'm just going to go sit on his chest.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
You know, folklore is, the interpretations are weird, but I found it very interesting that they have like an actual name for it.
Yeah. It's way cooler to think of there's a hag or a witch sitting on her chest than going scientific on it. So
Yeah,
it's kind of boring. But, you know.
Yeah, that's the boring explanation, if you want to go with that.
We love making folklore stories and all of those things. So
yeah, because you also have to remember these stories come from a long time ago when science wasn't
a thing.
Science is like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like the 30 years compared to the thousands of years that humans have been around. There needed to be some explanation so people wouldn't be as scared of what was happening to them.
Correct.
It's also been related to alien abductions. So I did mention this before. People see lights in the middle of the night, body paralysis, dissections, and examinations on themselves.
What?
I don't know. The classic look of...
Wait, hold on. Dissections? Like they're...
Like they're being dissected and examined.
But they're awake, right?
They're awake.
They're being... They're watching while they're... Well, yeah. These aliens are performing the dissecting,
yes.
Right? Dissection?
Yeah, the dissection.
Dissection.
Yeah, so they're witnessing everything that is happening to them.
That is so cool, dude. But that is so terrifying. Mm-mm. At the same time.
I don't want to. I don't want to experience a dissection on myself.
Crazy.
Yeah. Now, the classic look of extraterrestrial kidnappers are the bald, big-headed humanoids with elongated eyes. So they see the classic, like, alien...
The big head.
Yeah.
With big eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So following the dissemination of these accounts, there was a time during the around 1947 when there was like the classic, I saw an alien, I saw it, it looked this way, and it became very popular for some reason. Like I can't remember where it was, I read it somewhere in an article, that there was this person that saw, or this couple that saw an alien, and they reported it to a TV news anchor. And they spread the news, and so a bunch of people saw that news like report, and then they started saying, oh, we're seeing the same thing too. And so that was the boom of alien like apparitions or alien stories
or UFO sightings.
So from then on, people started seeing more and like started coming up and saying, oh, I saw this too, or hey, I was abducted in my sleep and they dissected me. Yeah, so following this, tabloids and TV programs rose in abduction reports because of everyone was saying that they were seeing them.
Yeah, maybe people weren't saying anything because then they were afraid that others were gonna think, oh, what the hell, you're crazy or you're just losing your mind or whatever. So then they saw that people were reporting or were saying that they saw aliens, so they just said, oh, you know what, I'm not that crazy.
Yeah. Like, someone saw what I saw, so I can also talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So that's when it boomed.
Yeah, it boomed. And it also boomed in being a sleep paralysis thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is very interesting that people see that when they're sleeping.
Well, you know, the brain is a very amazing organ.
It is.
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And it just trips.
It trips. It really does.
Yeah.
And you're going to know this one. In Mexico, it's known as Se Me Subió El Muerto, which is translated to A Dead Body Climbed on Top of Me.
Yeah, it's every time, like my mom, like our mom says, she's always saying, Se Me Subió El Muerto.
and it's like sleep paralysis. But we grew up with that
hearing so, that or yeah. also hearing. I remember our great grandpa used to say that it was a duende.
Yeah,
that a small duende would climb on his chest and he couldn't move.
Yeah, it was that was cool, dude. I love those stories.
Yeah, I was terrified when he would tell me those stories. I was like six.
Yeah, he would say that it was a duende. What is it? Like a...
It's an elf. An
elf?
Like a small... It's a dwarf, sorry.
A dwarf.
Yes.
And he would say that you have to give him like a silver coin. So
he would like...
go away.
Yeah.
That was cool. I mean, maybe it's not true. Maybe it is.
Yeah. Maybe it was sleep paralysis or maybe he saw something.
Maybe, but... those stories were cool.
Like those. But I didn't find much else on sleep paralysis. It was mostly just folklore and like what the science says that it's behind.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I believe in the science part, so it makes it less scary than like what the folklore says.
No, I do believe it's... I want to believe that it's the folklore has some truth to it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like out of 100%, maybe 55 or 60 is true, because throughout the generations, throughout the decades, maybe people started adding things so it would attract other people to like believe that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's true. You never know. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it has a more scientific part of it, like a explanation.
Yeah, and I did read. Like it was an actual scientific article about the folklore that was like, I know there are scientific parts to this, but I also want to say that there is so much importance in the spiritual side of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know if we are alone in this place. We don't know if it's just...
We're not alone here.
Yeah.
We're not alone.
Who knows?
I do.
You do?
I do. We're not alone.
Yeah, I don't know. But there is an importance. There should be some weight on the spiritual part as much as the scientific part.
Right. So I'm going to share with you some interesting facts surrounding this strange sleep phenomenon.
Okay.
So number one is sleep paralysis is not a nightmare. Many people associate the feeling of not being able to move as part of a nightmare, but unpleasant images from true nightmares actually only occur when you're in a deep state of sleep. Sleep paralysis is essentially the opposite of a nightmare due to when it occurs in the sleep cycle. WebMD notes that sleep paralysis only takes place when you're transitioning into a sleep mode or hypnagogic.
Okay.
Or coming out of hypnopompic.
Those are words.
Those are very easy.
Oh,
words.
You know what? I did see those words. So yeah. One of them is when you're going to sleep, and one of them is when you're waking up, right?
Yeah, when you're going to sleep mode, it's hypnagogic.
Yeah.
And when you're coming out of it, it's hypnopompic.
Yes.
So
science.
Yeah. Science, yeah. Sleep paralysis is arguably more terrifying than a nightmare.
Yes.
Due to the fact that you're conscious, yet seem helpless against any perceived dangers.
Yes. I agree.
I
100% agree.
So number two is homicidal sleepwalking.
Oh.
So imagine waking up to find that you've wrecked your bedroom while fast asleep. Clothes everywhere, bedside table broken, nightlight smashed. It would be pretty shocking, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you? Why wouldn't it be?
Well, imagine that instead of a wrecked bedroom, you wake up blurry-eyed to find a dead, mutilated loved one in front of you.
Oh no!
And there's blood all over your hands.
Oh God, no!
Unless you have a deep love of interior design, the second one's probably worse, right?
Yeah.
Homicidal somnambulism or sleepwalking murder has been written off and used as a defense in murder trials numerous times in modern history. The most recent case of this kind was in 2005, when Jules Lowe was acquitted of murdering his father because he was sleepwalking at the time of the incident. Number three, coma nightmare.
Coma nightmare. That sounds even more terrifying than sleep paralysis.
Well, there's a school of thought which believes the phenomenon of coma dreams is near impossible, they are often remembered by survivors who are able to reflect on bizarre, extended visions they experience while unconscious. If that's true, then what if, while in a coma, the weird dreamlike experience takes a turn for the worse and becomes a nightmare? And now you're trapped in a coma for what would be months, years,
okay,
potentially decades.
Oh gosh.
With the worst visions imaginable playing out before your very eyes.
So you're just stuck in your sleep forever.
Forever.
Until your body decides to stop.
Yeah. And while you have
terrible nightmares. It's like hell. You're in hell.
Yeah.
But you're not dead.
It's like sleep paralysis times 1,000. Like,
yes.
Worse.
It's so much worse.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Number four.
It's so dramatic.
Sleep paralysis has a long and strange history.
It does.
Sleep paralysis is a phenomenon that's been around since the early 19th century, like you said.
You did say that, right? I said it was recorded in around 400 okay. BC, which is
very
long.
Before the 19th century.
Way before that.
Yeah. When theologians and philosophers wrote about what they believed to be a very real demonic experience. For centuries, people believed that sleep paralysis occurred when demons sat on their chests, or in instances of witchcraft or demonic possession. Only later did many decide that bad meat or cheap wine might be the cause.
Yeah, so food.
Food.
Food is the cause for some reason.
Especially bad meat or cheap wine.
Yeah. So don't eat bad meat.
Or drink cheap wine.
Yeah.
Number five.
Okay.
It feels like you're dead.
Yeah.
Many tend to associate waking up and being unable to move or to speak while being mentally awake with the feeling of being dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're unable to move. You try calling for help only to discover that no words are being uttered from your mouth. This may feel as if you're being choked because not enough air is getting through your body. But you're alive, and these episodes don't last for only a few seconds to a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. They're very short.
Very, very short, but they're very traumatic.
Yes.
Very stressful.
Yes.
Number six.
Number six. You say you held up a five, and I was confused. Number six, and it's a five in your hand.
Number six.
You ran out of fingers.
I'm holding my phone. That's
yeah.
Anyone can experience it. Sleep paralysis is a natural occurrence, meaning that it can happen to anyone, although it's more common with young adults and people with history of mental illness, like you said.
Thank you.
Like you said.
Please continue.
Number seven.
You held up a six now.
REM. Sleep may appear a very natural part of our existence, but in reality, it's a highly complex and subtle neurological process with a lot of room for stuff to go wrong, both as we're going to sleep and as we're waking up. Things can misfire due to a variety of reasons, ranging from jet lag, unusual sleep patterns, anxiety, trauma, to alcohol or other substances which suppress the period known as REM or deep sleep. Suppressing REM means that instead of this period of the sleep cycle occurring at the beginning of the night, it rebounds towards the end as your brain tries to make up for the lost REM time.
Yeah.
But this can provide the trigger for an odd sequence of events.
Yeah, so it's your sleep cycle is so messed up that your body tries to recover, but it doesn't really know that you're supposed to be waking up at that time. And so it crosses over between deep sleep and your actual like waking up time,
and that's when you have that brain fart.
It's when you have that brain fart and you see ghosts.
Yeah. So REM is when we experience our most vivid dreams, and during this spell the brain sends your body into a state of complete paralysis. This is a perfectly normal event which occurs every night, and we believe it's a mechanism to prevent us from acting out our dreams, which could be highly dangerous, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But when sleep goes wrong, you can actually wake up during the REM period while your body is still paralyzed. Many people who suffer from these abnormal occurrences only experience paralysis. But because they are both awake and still in the REM stage of sleep, some will begin hallucinating with their eyes open, projecting vivid and often threatening dreams into their bedroom surroundings.
Yeah, so what's interesting is you say it's supposed to be a dream state. Usually when I dream, I have very vivid dreams all the time, but they're not terrifying. What's interesting is that every time I've heard someone have sleep paralysis, something terrifying happens.
Really?
Yes. So it's like you're not, or maybe it's just like the fear kicks in that you mm-hmm. can't move. And so it's just fear going through your brain, and that's what makes up these terrifying images.
So what would you rather have, a very bad nightmare or sleep paralysis?
A very bad nightmare, because I know it's a nightmare.
But
I know I'm dreaming. I always know I'm dreaming, so that's why I choose that.
But, I mean, maybe having a nightmare is the worst, but hallucinating during sleep paralysis will almost make you wish for a nightmare instead.
Yes, it does.
According to the National Sleep Foundation, sleep paralysis occurs between dream sleep and wakefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, your dreams feel more vivid, even though they are technically hallucinations. The combination of not being able to move and generally being terrified make for some eerie possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout history, many people have reported a demon or hag sitting on their chest, keeping them from moving.
Yes.
Sleep paralysis stories typically involve unusual and frightening experiences. Perhaps you or the disconnected family have one or two of these disturbing tales of their own to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the following scenario. It's been a long day. You go to bed later than usual and fall asleep quickly through sheer exhaustion. But instead of waking up peacefully in the morning, you have wake in the middle of the night. And in the darkness of your bedroom, it slowly dawns on you that you can't move your body and that someone or something is watching you.
Oh no.
A weight pushing on your chest, pressing you down and preventing you from sitting up. And not only is your body paralyzed, but you can't so much as move your lips to call out for help. You're not sure who or what it is pushing your chest, even though you seem to be able to move your eyes just a little. It's too dark to see anyway. Regardless, you just feel that there's a presence there. Something strange. Something frightening.
Oh no.
If you, the listener, have had a sleep paralysis experience, tell us your story via voicemail on our new website, which we will put the link on the show notes. You know that?
Yeah, no, this is new. We haven't talked about this.
Okay, well, they can leave a voicemail on our website.
Yeah, and you can be a little segment in our show.
Exactly.
When you hear your beautiful voice out there, just send us a voicemail.
We would love to hear your beautiful voices. Or if you're too shy to talk, then drop us a message right there on the Disconnected Podcast website. Click on the three lines that are above the right side and click on contact. There you can tell us your story, or just press the microphone that is positioned at the bottom right of your screen, or in our email, thedisconnectedpod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
So we are going to jump into some stories about sleep paralysis.
That's nice.
So an event of sleep paralysis can last for anything from a few seconds to several minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the severity of visions vary dramatically. Some are truly terrifying. And today at the Disconnected Podcast, we collected some of the scariest sleep paralysis stories we found online. Are you ready?
No.
Good.
Go for it.
The first story comes from a Reddit user named Ginger Oblivion.
Okay.
Love that name, by the way.
I love Reddit names.
So cool.
They're amazing.
Very original. Who shares his or her terrifying experience with sleep paralysis, and it reads like this. One night, I woke up to what I thought was the sound of footsteps in my hallway. I was laying on my back, which immediately made me confused and a bit nervous because I never sleep on my back.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to turn my head to see where the sound was coming from, but I couldn't move at all. The panic set in, and I heard the source of the footsteps coming to my room. Now, although I could not see the figure, I knew it was a home invader. I could feel him standing on the opposite side of my bed, silently, staring down on me.
Ugh, gross.
He had some sort of weapon in his right hand. I believe it was a knife. I swear, my heart was never dropped and raised like that in my entire life. I kept trying and trying to move or scream, but I was frozen in place. It felt like hours. I'm done with the story.
Oh, that's the end?
That's the end.
That's the end. It felt like hours, and then
he just went through it.
There's nothing you can do.
No.
I've really nothing to do.
Yeah, I've personally never experienced sleep paralysis, but I would imagine you must feel so helpless and desperate not being able to move or scream.
Mm-hmm.
Just call up for help.
Yeah.
Looking at a scary-ass creature or black mass in the corner of your room and just lying there while you're scared shitless.
Yes.
That would suck so bad.
It sucks.
Yeah. So this next story, it's called Face to Face with a Dead Body.
Mm, nice.
Back when I was hooked on Final Fantasy XI, I was playing way too much while neglecting my sleep. You might relate
playing
to this.
Playing Elden Ring till the wee hours of the night.
Back when I was hooked on Final Fantasy XI, I was playing too much while neglecting my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
One evening, I went to bed stressed. I then spent a while tossing and turning in bed. Upon turning to my right, I was face to face with the dead body of an old man.
Oh.
He had some kind of scaled reptilian skin. After around 5 seconds, which felt much longer,
mm-hmm.
he started to vanish. Then, I could feel some kind of omnipresence outside. It was super early in the morning, so it was turning light. However, the sky and natural light began to dim rapidly as this presence was making its way to my room.
Okay.
I could feel it growing and growing as the window went pitch black. The pure evil darkness began to seep into my room. So I jumped up and got the hell out of there. Splash cold water over my face to stop all of this onslaught. Ever since that traumatic experience, I have had trouble sleeping. I don't feel safe.
Oh gosh.
This came from Reddit user DAFJ.
Yeah.
Davidge.
Davidge. Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, I would also be traumatized. It's scary to sleep after.
Yeah. So, the main reason people are having sleep paralysis is because they either they're not sleeping well or they sleep
late.
Stressed or very
yeah.
stressed. Because your body just... Maybe your brain or your body are tense.
Yeah.
And the only way to show it or...
It's a reaction to what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So this next story is called Getting Pulled from the Bed.
Mm. Nice. Fun.
Jesse, have you ever felt like getting pulled from your bed?
No, I don't want to.
No?
Man, I'll pass.
If I ever get pulled from my bed, that same night, I would pack and get the hell out of there. Never return.
Yes.
And along with my family, of course.
Just leave everyone.
That shit's not sleep paralysis. That's from something dark and evil.
Yeah.
Like, no.
No.
No. Anyways, this story comes from a Reddit user called Jellybean Skittle.
I love that.
Man, this Reddit user recounts the most horrifying experience.
Tell us, Jellybean Skittle, how you were pulled from your bed.
I suffered a terrible accident involving being kicked in the face by a horse, which resulted in my jaw being broken. 2 plates and a wired jaw later, I was pretty hungry and exhausted. I'd suffered from sleep paralysis before, but nothing to the extent after this accident. It occurred every night, sometimes multiple times, for months on end. We have a mirrored wardrobe next to our bed, my side, of course, and I keep the bedroom door open. Quite often, I would be just falling off to sleep when I would feel the dread wash over me, followed by the feeling of someone being in the room. I would then feel like something was pulling me off of the bed by arm, towards the mirror. Then the nightmares progressed to being dragged off the bed by my back, all while feeling choked, unable to scream or move, unable to get my husband's attention, who lay next to me. Extremely unnerving and upsetting to the point I would fear sleep. My husband told me that I'd been sleepwalking and I had no recollection of this. He'd found me on the hallway a few times, really upsetting. After a post on Reddit, it was suggested that we cover the mirror. It did help curb the amount of experiences for a while until I returned to work with the nightmares lessened. Recently, the sleep paralysis has returned, but interestingly, so have my daily headaches and migraines. I am able to sometimes let out a sound while trying to scream, which my husband then is able to wake me out of it. My most recent experience has been of a black figure, a thin person covered head to toe in skin-tight black lycra?
Yeah. It's like... it's lycra.
Yeah.
So it's just very, like, legging type material.
Oh, so she would see that, like, yeah, in her room. Head to toe, wow. Who is trying to drag me from the bed by face, incredibly frightening. In this state, it feels like it is almost in slow motion, and I'm trying to crawl my fingers across the bed to my husband to wake him, but it is impossible.
Oh, no.
I find it interesting that most of us who experience this tell of the same figure.
So multiple people
have shared that they experienced the same story, the same
figure.
Black figure with lycra.
Ugh.
Yeah. So this next story comes from Redditor Bunny Chow. I used to get them quite a bit. I guess school was stressing me out. I graduated high school now, but most of mine were auditory sensory. I've never seen anything, thankfully. I think the worst one that I experienced was when I was in bed laying on my side facing the wall with my back to the rest of the room. I have a queen bed, so there was quite a bit of room left. This was towards the end of my sleep, so I wake up and felt this terror wash over me. It was still dark, but I felt something was there with me, next to me, like something got into my bed.
Mm-mm.
I had a squeaky ass bed, so I heard that. I was absolutely terrified at this point, just clenching my eyes shut. This thing is hovering its face right by mine, and I can feel it breathing on me.
Mm.
It only lasted a few minutes, but felt like forever at the time. One of the worst things I've ever experienced. The brain is amazing. Everything else is creepy garbled voices and the feeling of something on you. I got to the point where if I felt it, I would just wiggle my toes and fingers to get out of it.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Someone getting in your bed and you're like can't just do anything about it. It's just breathing on you?
Breathing on your face.
No, thank you.
No.
I'll pass.
Yeah, this last story is called Meow Says Dexter.
Okay.
I knew there was a thing in my closet. Something really evil, but I also knew I was dreaming and I should face my fear. I tried to look directly at the closet door, but if I moved my eyes, my head would turn away. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't look directly at it. Then I woke up in a cold sweat. At first, I felt really relieved that it was over, but very shortly, I realized it wasn't a dream and there really was something in the closet. I was laying on my back and I couldn't move and I didn't really hear it, but I could kind of feel this sickening laughter wash over me and through me in waves, emanating from the closet. All of a sudden, the thing throws a human head at me and it lands on my chest face up. What the hell?
Why? No.
It was this girl I knew in high school. Up to this point, I was kind of holding it together. I don't know how? That shit fucking crazy.
I would have cried.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Terrified, but not panicked. Well, I lose it now.
Yeah, of course. A normal person would lose it at this point.
I can't even scream. All I can do is make these grunting sounds and moaning sounds. I'm wriggling and straining, trying to rock from side to side to get it off, but I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
This seemed to last maybe a minute or two, and then I really woke up. It was so traumatic that for weeks I would be scared when I woke up that I wasn't awake and something horrible could happen at any second. It still makes my skin crawl when I think about that laugh. The thing is, I had never heard of sleep paralysis or night terrors at this point in my life. I thought I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
And a Reddit user responded to this story saying, after listening to this encounter, it sounds just like my sleep paralysis symptoms. I had it for years. It was almost once a week until I was 15 or 16 years old. I used to think stories about ghosts and spirits were based on facts thanks to fucking sleep paralysis. Even now, I'm 31 years old and I have an irrational fear of the dark. The most commonly recurring situation was hearing something breathing behind me. I just knew that it was waiting until I showed signs of being awake to do whatever it was going to do. I could hear it walking around my room, picking up things on the bookshelf or my desk. The worst was when I thought I had woken up, that split second of relief until I realized it was still behind me in my room. Those layered dreams of sleep paralysis can go fuck themselves. They are insanity inducing.
Yeah.
In which someone responded with,
oh, so the people could just keep responding to that.
I get it pretty frequently, at least a few times a month for so many years. I used to have night terrors, lucid dreams fairly often without trying. Sleep paralysis is an awful, awful feeling. For 3 weeks, I was in the jungle and slept alone in a tent. Every single night, I had sleep paralysis, sometimes multiple times in the same night. The iconic presence took the form of jaguars and howler monkeys on my chest, ripping out my throat.
That's nice.
Eventually, I just got used to it since it was so frequent.
At some point, you're like, yeah, you're ripping out my throat again? Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, yeah, just let me know when you're done.
Yeah, so I can go back to sleep.
Even though the jaguar was still there ripping out my throat at night, it became more annoying than terrifying.
Okay, all right.
Wow, like, how can you get used to this? Like,
yeah.
Like, how can you get used to someone or something ripping up your throat? Like,
I don't know. It's terrifying, though.
Yeah. There are thousands of people who have creepy sleep paralysis stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. I spent, like, almost 2 hours reading them. And you realize that many of these people suffering from this mysterious event don't tell anyone what they are experiencing.
No. You don't go around saying you got sleep paralysis. You're going to look crazy.
Yeah, they're suffering in silence.
Yeah.
Maybe they keep it to themselves because...
Or maybe you're scared of it happening again if you talk about it.
Yeah, maybe they are afraid others might think that they're weird or creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You guys shouldn't be ashamed of anything. You're brave for having that courage to put up with those sleepless nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who have to deal with this every night. Demons or... hallucinations, whatever. Call for help. There are doctors who can help you. You're not alone. Now it's time for some plugs.
Oh, yes. Sure. You can follow us everywhere. We are everywhere. It's all going to be in the show notes.
Yeah, you can find all episodes for free on Spotify and on any platform where you listen to podcasts as The Disconnected Podcast mm-hmm. with Angel and Jesse, except YouTube.
Except YouTube. We're working on that.
We're working on it. And if you like the show, please follow us on Facebook as The Disconnected Podcast with Angel and Jesse and Instagram as The Disconnected Pod.
Yes.
Share us on social networks and rate us with 5 stars. Visit our official page and sign up to get updates on the latest episodes. Everything will be on the show notes because you probably forgot what we just said.
I already forgot everything that you just said. So, and I hear this every week. So
I know. You can always listen to the shows right there on the site, but you can also subscribe through one of the many apps we have listed on the follow tab
mm-hmm.
on the website. Thank you so much for the support.
Yes, thank you so much for listening to this episode as well. I hope you don't have terrible dreams tonight, and I hope I don't either.
I'm not worried because I don't get that.
So. No, it usually happens when you're a vivid, lucid dreamer, so mm-hmm. I get that.
No, I'm not. I never dream. Well, yeah. Maybe I dream, but I never remember.
I do all the time. So, good luck out there in your sleep.
Yeah, thank you. We love you and appreciate you. And this has been the Disconnected Podcast. See you in the next episode. I am Angel.
And I am Jesse.
See you next time, family. Bye.
Goodbye.